Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. There is a scene at the beginning of the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where, if you've seen the movie, it's a memorable scene where Jason Segel's character is naked at home, feeling relaxed, obviously, and he's hit with some pretty big news that he clearly did not see coming. Now, which house of heartbreak do you think he's in that scene? That is the topic of today's episode. This is the beginning of a series where I've introduced to you the seven houses of heartbreak on a previous episode of The Soft Shoulder. And this series, this marks the beginning where we're going to go house by house, a little deeper, a little more in depth, and explore how to best take care of yourself when you are in each of those houses. So, dear listener, I have a question. Have you been listening along to these podcasts and thinking, God, I would love to get Danette on the phone and just tell her all the stuff that's going on and all these things that I want and all these changes I want to make and just dump it all over the table and get support in finally making these changes I know I can make, I hope I can make? Are you looking for some spring cleaning of your own energy and you're really ready to step into a new relationship with yourself? If that is you, please do reach out. You can book a call with me on the homepage of my website and see if coaching with me is a right fit for you at radicalcreativesanctuary.com. You will see a link. It goes directly to my calendar. You can see some spots that are available. Let's have a conversation and see how I can support you in your self-love journey. This episode is brought to you by Tech Coven. We all have questions. Sometimes the best way to find answers is to tune out the noise of others and tune into your own intuitive wisdom. Tarot is beautiful for this, a meditative tool that provides a deeper perspective. Guided by your own questions, Alison Tarr's style of tarot card reading is provocative, it's clever, it's kind. And a single card reading for $15 is a fabulous treat for yourself. It's excellent for spontaneous guidance, burning questions, or even daily meditation. And you can choose from three different decks that she has, including the Wild Unknown. Speaking of the wild unknown, there are moments in life where suddenly everything changes and we really just don't know anything anymore. Because life as we know it has changed so suddenly. And what we thought we knew isn't true anymore, and that can make us question everything. This is really a painful, very memorable time. Often, these moments begin with the words, "We need to talk." If you have been on the receiving end of those words, if you've delivered those words, you know what I'm talking about, those conversations. This is why when people say, "We need to talk," it just brings up anxiety for people, even if really the conversation is not that kind of conversation. It's just become code for like, uh-oh, something's going to go down. So as I said, we're kicking off the series, going through the seven houses of heartbreak, one at a time. But if you're new to this idea, I have a little update. So years ago, I went through a series of breakups, and they inspired me to start writing what I thought was a blog post, and then I thought maybe a series of blog posts, and then I thought it was a zine, and then it became a book. So then I started working on this book, over the years. And I was so close to completing this book right before my brain injury. And whatever part, the stage that I'm in with the story, with the book is, it's the final edits, the very, very final edits are happening. And it's really about like layout and it's requiring different parts of the brain that apparently I don't have access to. And I keep revisiting. So the update is that I keep every once in a while, I keep checking in, I open it, I revisit it. And it's like I go blank. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't have access to this. Funny, I had the same experience with coloring books when I first hit my head. I thought that would be like a really relaxing, good thing. And I was so excited recently to start coloring again because I realized, oh, a year ago, I actually couldn't do this. Like I would just look at a coloring book and somehow I had a weird reaction and I felt frustrated and confused and kind of, I don't know, irritated by it, which is very, you know, it's hard to believe. I love coloring books. But anyhow, that's where the book is right now. I keep revisiting it. I still check in. In the meantime, I care so much about this topic. I've spent so many years diving in, experiencing all the breakups for you. You're welcome. I'm doing all this research. and then writing it and taking the time with it. I've become so passionate about it. I work with this material often with my clients in various stages of this, various houses of heartbreak. And so I wanted to not wait until I can assemble this book together, which I'm super excited about and I have not given up on. And I want to bring you this material now. I want to share this with you so that I can support you along your way through the houses or help you support someone you know and love through those houses as well. If you want a map of the seven houses outlining each of the seven houses of heartbreak and their corresponding healing priority, you can get one if you sign up for my newsletter also on my website. This is radicalcreativesanctuary.com. There's a big picture of a heartbreak house. You can just click on there or at the bottom and that will get sent right to you so you can have your own copy. It's a great map to have. And the reason why it's a great map to have is because even though they're number, there are seven, we don't move through them in order. This is not a tidy process, as you probably know. If you've had your heart broken, if you've been betrayed, if you've had something destroy and fall apart, if it's you've fallen in and out of love and there's been all this disruption, it's not like, oh, we did this part, check, we did this part, check, now I've cried, check. Of course it doesn't happen like that. So what's nice about it being a map is that you'll move, you know, maybe you'll be in house one, maybe you'll go directly to house three, maybe you'll live in house six for 7 years, like it's, and then go back to house four. It's like there's some fluidity here, which is really nice. You might kind of be living in a cusping of a few houses at once, and this is full of creative possibility. So do go to radicalcreativesanctuary.com, sign up for the newsletter. You will receive that map of the seven houses. So today, house one is shatter and shock. I'm going to read it to you from the map. So this is house of heartbreak number one, devastated, disbelief, dust. Life as you know it has changed dramatically. You're not sure how you are even functioning. This is as broken as your heart gets. In the chaos, you might entertain delusions or denial as a form of relief. You are just taking in the scene as it unfolds. You need help, but you aren't yet sure what that means. Is this really happening? Now, if you're in this house right now, I just want to send you so much love and tell you that you're not alone, even though you feel like you are, and that this house is one of the shortest stays of any of the houses of heartbreak. That's the good news. This is one that we don't stay in too long. It's kind of a kickoff house. And the healing priority here is getting through the day, witnessing your experience, and remembering to breathe. That is it. Now, not everybody moves through this house. Some of you may have related to that or go, oh, I remember that moment. It's not the same for everybody. Now, you might skim through it so quickly that you don't really feel it very much and you move on to the other houses. That is possible. But if you can draw your breakup or your heartbreak back to a moment in time or a period, a short period in time, where things definitively changed, this might be your house one. This is where there's a before and an after, right? So if you're in it, you might know you're in it, but you might not be able to recognize this house until you've left it. That's the shock part of it, right? Like often when we're in this house, it's just a lot to take in and we can't really process all the change in information at once. And we're kind of numbing ourselves to this news and what that means, because in some cases, when our partnerships break, that might be connected, depending on how we've set this up in our lives, how long, how deep this relationship is, that could be disrupting your home, your community, your support system, your family. This is a bit, your finances. This is a really big thing, right? So it makes sense that we comfort ourselves, protect ourselves with this layer of shock. So that's one of the reasons why you might not even really know you're there until looking back, until you've left. You know, it often shows up, you'll be able to identify it when you're telling the story later. So when someone asks you, when the breakup is public, say, and someone asks what happened, and you say, well, I knew something was up when, or, you know, everything was going great until, or I had a feeling like, you know, and or I came home and we have to talk. Like your story usually starts around this if you're telling like the full honest story. So this house can look like a conversation. I said like the we need to talk conversation. It might be more dramatic than that. It might be like walking in on them with someone else or discovering without a doubt that they have betrayed your trust, like a real instant shattering realization. But it's not always that dramatic. You know, it could look like a time when you walked in, you came home or they came home and things just seemed different. A moment where something shifted and you knew this is going to end. Now, I want to be very clear. This is not just a moment of worry, but of really knowing. A moment where it's like, I know this now. Like you're not wavering on it anymore. There's a difference between warning signs and this moment of like, oh, I got it. As an example, I'll share a personal story. So I was in a long-term relationship when I was a teenager. And there was a whole lot of warning signs. Like in hindsight, you know, it's a little comical how many warning signs there were. And I was just determined to stick with this. But there was one moment that I remember very clearly. That was this moment. That was the beginning of this shatter shock place for me. Because this happened and it actually, the relationship didn't end for, it was, I don't know, another like 10 months or something after this moment. So sometimes these might happen in a series. But that whole time, in that 10 month period, I knew, I did not waver. I knew this relationship was ending and I was preparing myself for that. I knew there was no going back. So that was where a line was crossed that I knew I couldn't come back from. So there was a lot of boundaries being pushed. There was a lot of things being tested. And there was a lot of me just deciding that what's okay. And it wasn't okay. There was a lot of me deciding to give up certain personal power, certain freedoms, certain things about myself in order to make this other person happy, in quotes. And I made those decisions to make myself smaller. I was like, yeah, I can sacrifice that. Oh, they're upset about this. Oh, I won't. It's not a big deal. I won't do that. I won't wear that. I won't look out the window. I know it's not worth the risk if I happen to look out the window and an attractive person walks by, because I know there'll be a long fight about that. Like, this is the kind of thing that I was just slowly curating myself to stay in this relationship. There were many of those things. And then there was one where there was a fight in a car. We were on our way to a Jack and Jill for like a family member, and we were lost, and they got really angry and frustrated and were taking it out on me and life in general. And they used some language and called me a name that I, in that moment in the car, I was like, okay, I will not stay with someone who calls me that name. And for whatever reason, I'd never made that policy before, because honestly, who thought that was going to happen? I'm like, what if someday someone calls you this horrible thing? It was like my whole body just responded with like, well, that's over, because there's no way you're staying now. It was a really powerful moment. And but again, it wasn't like, it was months later. But that whole time I knew the point of this is it was a point of no return. It wasn't like all the other times. Right. So if you're in a relationship right now and you're like, oh, no, is that the point? No, you'll know. You'll know when it's that point of no return. This is when there's no hope or there's certainty, depending on what side you're on in this and how you feel about the relationship. So it could be a shift in your perspective. It's a pivot. It's, you might call it, it's like rock bottom, you know, the final straw, a fight, the we need to talk conversation. And it could be just like, so there might be like the one, the talk, and then a bigger one where the clarity sinks in a new way. So another story from another breakup, there was the we need to talk conversation, but there was still some hope. There was still this kind of like shock and panic. And I had this idea. I was like, I'm going to fight for this relationship. I'm going to do a grand gesture. I'm going to do, and I started getting really excited about this. I'm like, this is it. I want this. And I'm going to show that I want this. And as I was planning my grand gesture, I was sitting in a coffee shop and I got an email from that person. And it was just abundantly clear that the grand gesture would not have been received very well. And thank God that email came before I actually did the grand gesture. But it really landed. Like, I got it. They were clear. I really got it. And then like, it was another wave of that, okay, this is really over moment. Yeah. So like, what language do you tend to use? Things I hear often are just that, like, you know, like, yeah, the rock bottom, the final straw, like this is when things fell apart. Everything was on fire, melting, disappearing, destroying. Yeah. What language resonates with you, or do you tend to use when describing a moment of no return? Just something to pay attention to. I think that metaphor, as you know, I'm a fan, and it also helps because we can build on that imagery. We can find poetry in that imagery. We can also find ways of healing and of looking, getting perspective through the imagery. So healing priorities here. This is obviously a very tender place. And also people might not know about it yet, right? This is like, this could just be happening and no one in your life even knows it's happening. So the healing priority is getting through the day, witnessing your experience, remembering to breathe. This is very simple, simple self-care. And when I say be the witness, I really mean that. That is all. Just kindly, compassionately, lovingly, respectfully witness your own experience as much as you can. You might check out. There's lots of ways that we deal with these kinds of moments, lots of ways we numb ourselves, vices that we go to. You might do that. Witness those too. Go, oh, look what, okay, I'm doing this. Witnessing is not judging, okay? Just witness it. Witness the moments when you check out. Witness them as much as you can, as often as you can. Keep in touch with yourself through this. Almost imagine it like you're just holding your hand and giving it a squeeze. You know, it's like, don't worry, like, I got you. I'm here. I'm here. Even if it's the tiniest voice. Another wonderful way to do this is to write in a journal, a notebook, random bathroom walls, whatever, write as much as you can, even when you don't recognize your own voice and it feels stupid and you're just writing like an angry, blurby nonsense. Just show up and witness. This will help your healing process. It will help you in the next houses. You're going to see this moment. And so you will see when you're out of it and you'll see how far you came. I also want you to let yourself off the hook for whatever you need to do or to not do in this house. Remember basic things like water, like sleep. Though you might not be getting sleep, that's fine. Lay yourself down, do what you need to do, take a shower. Just stand there. You don't even have to use soap. You don't have to wash your hair. Take yourself and just stand yourself under the shower. Remember to eat if you can. This house is the shortest house. It's one that you will likely stay in once or maybe twice. And the second house is where you get to focus more on self-care, tending to your body, mind, heart, talking to other people. It's about support. But in house one, don't worry about any of that. Don't even worry about how you're not taking care of yourself. Just keep it super simple. Drink water, breathe, and witness this experience. Know that you will get through this. Now, we all have these moments in our stories, in our lives, and we get through them. You have permission to get through the day however you need to. You have permission to not have the answers, to not know the story, to not know how you feel. And you have permission to honor your own privacy through this. Don't worry about anyone else right now. Things will shift again. They will change again. Change is constant. So stay with you. And be as kind and as gentle as you possibly can. Because you are someone worth loving. And it all starts with you. If you are looking for support to get through a heartbreak, going through a breakup, moving through these houses, reach out. RadicalCreativeSanctuary.com. You can book a call with me right on the homepage. I would love to support you in this. In the meantime, take good care, and we'll talk to you soon.